Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, August the 1st, following the death of an 18-year-old from Egypt in Rome for the Jubilee of Youth, Pope Leo XIV has words of closeness and consolation for the group of which she was part. A staggering 18,000 children have been killed in Israeli strikes on the Gaza Strip since the 7th of October 2023. But first, the young pilgrims of hope in Rome for their Jubilee gather at the city's vast Tor Vergata area for a vigil with the Pope. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. As close to a million young pilgrims are gathering in Rome's Tor Vergata area on the outskirts of the city for a vigil on Saturday evening as they prepare for the culminating event of the Jubilee of Youth on Sunday morning with Holy Mass celebrated by Pope Leo XIV. Kelsey Gussie tells us more about the special site that hosted the landmark World Youth Day in the year 2000 with Pope St. John Paul II.
John Paul II, he loves you.
A quarter of a century ago, 2 million young people from 157 countries joined with Pope John Paul II to celebrate the 15th World Youth Day, which was held in 2000 in Rome at Tor Vergata. And this unique day, which has often been called the Catholic Woodstock, was held during the Jubilee of 2000, marking the bimillennium of Christ's birth. That year, there were 300 portable confessionals set up around the Colosseum and Circus Maximus, with some 2,000 priests to offer the sacrament of confession to pilgrims in 30 languages. This tradition continued to this year as 2025 marks another Jubilee year. About 1 million young people are celebrating their role in the Catholic Church for the Jubilee of Youth, with events such as concerts and talks, and a day set aside for penitence and a prayer vigil. As a nod back to the World Youth Day of 2000, the prayer vigil is being held at the same location, Tor Vergata. 25 years later, the site has changed some as a structure designed like a 75-meter-tall sail rises above the Roman hills, a symbol of the connection between Rome's center with its periphery, both physically and spiritually. The vigil marks the culmination of a week-long Jubilee event dedicated to young people. And ahead of the event, Pope Leo met with artists tasked with animating the young people at the vigil and reminded them their talents are a gift to the entire church.
La musica, ballo, e tante forme artistiche che ci sono che voi condividerete questo pomeriggio con i giovani, che è veramente un dono per noi tutti, per tutta la Chiesa.
Now, 25 years after Pope John Paul II, hundreds of thousands of young people from around the world are sharing their testimonies, music, questions, dance, and faith with Pope Leo, continuing the tradition that Tor Vergata is Rome's place dedicated to young people. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Meanwhile, Pope Leo on Saturday morning expressed his deep sorrow upon receiving the news of the sudden death of an 18-year-old Egyptian pilgrim, Pascal Rafik, who was in Rome to participate in the Jubilee of Youth. The Pope received the group she was travelling with, including Bishop Jean-Marie Chamy of Tarsus, who was leading it. During the audience in the Apostolic Palace, Pope Leo assured them of his heartfelt prayers and invoked the Lord's comfort and consolation upon Pascal's family members, friends, and all of those who grieve her loss. He acknowledged the grief we feel, also so suddenly, but said that our hope in the risen Christ gives us hope in remembering Pascal's new life in Christ.
St. Augustine tells us that when someone dies, of course, it's very human and very natural to cry, to feel that pain, to feel the loss of someone who is dear to us. And yet he also says, do not mourn as pagans do, because we too have seen Jesus Christ die on the cross and rise from the dead. And it is our hope in the resurrection that's the ultimate source of our hope when we speak about a Jubilee year of hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, who is risen.
Seven more people, including a child, died on Saturday from starvation in Gaza as U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff meets with families of Israeli hostages still held by Hamas in the Strip. Nathan Morley reports.
The meeting came nearly 22 months after the militant group's October 2023 attack on Israel, which led to the abduction of more than 250 people. According to Israeli military estimates, 49 hostages remain in Gaza, including 27 believed to be dead. Witkoff's visit came one day after he toured Gaza itself, including a food distribution centre operated by the Israeli military and the controversial Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, or GHF. Meanwhile, violence continued in the enclave. At least 22 Palestinians were killed on Saturday morning in an Israeli airstrike and gunfire, according to the Palestinian news agency Wafa. Medical sources at the Shifa Hospital in Gaza City reported receiving 12 bodies from an aid distribution site near the Netzarim corridor. Among the dead were five members of a single family killed in a strike on their home in central Gaza. In the northern area near Khan Yunis, three people were reportedly killed and several others wounded when a drone targeted tents sheltering displaced people. Meanwhile, as famine deepens, Palestinians continue dying in the search for food, according to the UN Human Rights Office. Despite Israel's announcement of daily pauses in military activity to allow aid, gunfire and shelling persist along a convoy route and near the GHF site. In just 48 hours, 105 Palestinians have been killed and 680 injured across northern Gaza, Khan Yunis and areas near GHF centres. Since the GHF began operating on May the 27th, at least 1,373 Palestinians have been killed while seeking aid, 859 of them near GHF facilities. The United Nations has urged independent investigations into these incidents. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
And children in the Gaza Strip are dying at unprecedented rates, where bombings, famine pose a grave risk and a disease outbreak may be looming. These were disturbing reminders provided by UNICEF's Deputy Executive Director Ted Shebaen following his recent visit to Israel, Gaza and the West Bank in a recent declaration. Deborah Castellano-Lubov tells us more.
Over 18,000 children have been killed in Gaza since the beginning of the war. That's an average of 28 children a day, the size of a classroom gone. UNICEF Deputy Executive Director Ted Shebaen offered this chilling reminder following his recent travel to Israel, Gaza, and the West Bank, stressing what children need, children from all communities, is a sustained ceasefire and a political way forward. Mr. Shebaen warned Gaza now faces a grave risk of famine, noting that two indicators have already exceeded the famine threshold. One in three people are going days without food, and global acute malnutrition is now over 16.5% in Gaza City. Today, more than 320,000 young children are at risk of acute malnutrition. Shebaen says the needs are enormous after 22 months of war and 2 months of blockade. Despite their own losses, UNICEF staff in Gaza continue working around the clock, delivering 2.4 million liters of water daily, reaching 600,000 children. But this is still below survival thresholds. Shebaen said children should not be getting killed, waiting in line at a nutrition center or collecting water, and urged more aid and commercial traffic to reduce desperation. He said this was important to try to prevent or reduce cases of self-distribution when the population goes after a convoy or looting when armed groups go after it because the price of food is so high. He also warned of looming disease outbreak amid 40-degree heat and water shortages, saying, "We are at a crossroads. The choice made now will determine whether tens of thousands of children will live or will die." He stressed that humanitarian pauses are not a ceasefire, saying, "We hope the parties will agree to a ceasefire and to the return of all remaining hostages held by Hamas and other armed groups." I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
The Democratic Republic of Congo and Rwanda have agreed on terms of economic cooperation in several sectors as the two countries move towards delivering on a peace deal signed in June. The tenets agreed summarize a regional economic integration framework, which includes elements of cooperation on energy, infrastructure, mineral supply chains, national parks, and public health. This is according to the State Department of the United States, which brokered the deal. In a statement, Rwanda and the DRC affirmed that each country has full sovereign control over the exploitation, processing and export of its natural resources, and recognise the importance of developing mineral processing and transformation capacity within each country. The DRC views the plundering of its mineral wealth as a key driver of the conflict between its forces and Rwanda-backed M23 rebels in the country's east that has killed thousands of people. And rescue teams in Chile are searching for five miners trapped after a partial collapse triggered by a tremor killed one colleague and halted operations at the world's largest underground copper mine. At least 100 people are reportedly involved in the perilous search effort, some 100 kilometres south of Santiago. And finally, bishops from across the African continent are gathered in Kigali, Rwanda, for their 20th plenary assembly on the theme Christ, Source of Hope, Reconciliation and Peace. As Father Paul Samasumo reports, the second day's discussions focused on unpacking this central theme and exploring the continent's long-term vision.
The second plenary assembly taking place in Kigali, Rwanda, entered day two with African bishops discussing in greater detail the Church's long-term pastoral vision, unveiling a 25-year plan from 2025 to 2050 aimed at strengthening unity, hope, and reconciliation across the continent. The new vision builds on the 1994 and 2009 African synods that upheld the vision of the African Church as a family of God. Later in the day, the bishops took time to address the sensitive issue of polygamy, reaffirming the Church teaching on the sacrament of marriage, while highlighting the need for pastoral accompaniment for those already in polygamous unions, especially women and children. The bishops have since agreed to implement a strategic roadmap to foster a Church that works together with courage, conviction, and communion. On Saturday, the bishops were voting for new SECAM office bearers, and Sunday, the bishops will conclude their plenary assembly with Holy Mass at Kibeho, a famous Marian shrine where the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared in 1981. For Vatican News, I'm Father Paul Samasumo in Kigali, Rwanda.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us tomorrow at this same time for more. Meanwhile, for these and other stories, you can visit our website at vaticannews.va, and you can catch the latest updates on Facebook, X and Instagram. Of course, you can follow the Saturday evening vigil of the Jubilee of Youth with Pope Leo XIV on all of our platforms. My thanks go to Luca Rossi in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.